And we are back to Entertainment Banter with Joel
and Matt
here drinking our eggnog on a special festive evening.
Evening, yes. Let's just say it's near Thanksgiving
for us. It sure is. Now, tonight we are going to talk about video game systems from new to old, from old to new.
And I'm going to talk about my personal experiences with those video game systems.
I think this whole talk will probably be about personal experiences, don't you think?
You never know. Sometimes other people had other experiences. But
What?
I don't know. I'm moving on already. So here we go. So the first system I remember playing was Atari. I know there's some others out there.
How old are you?
I'm not that old.
Okay.
But I'm old enough to remember Atari.
Okay, I do too, a little bit.
And also, talking about systems, a little sidestep too, is arcades. They don't exist anymore.
They do exist.
They do. They're different.
They're endangered.
They're what?
They're endangered. They're a rare breed. Like, there's actually one, if you live in Southern California, there's actually a really good arcade in Little Tokyo. It's up on the second store in the inside mall. And it's amazing. It's like an old school arcade. Of course, a lot of the, I don't want to be racist, but all the Japanese kids go there.
In Little Tokyo.
It's hard to believe. Kick ass at the fighting games.
Well, now you want to talk racist. Didn't they invent most of these games? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so anyways. there's another one in Fullerton in Southern California as well. A friend of mine actually has collected a bunch of old arcade type and pinball machines and has set it up there. It's pretty cool. But the other reason I brought the arcade up is it's not a system. But you would walk into a room and have your choice of many games. And that's what the system was. It was like your own personal arcade at home.
Yeah, like it kind of came about from arcade games, of course, because you go to this place and you play in the arcades. Like, how do you get that home? How do you shrink that down and bring it home and play?
Right.
I mean, one of the first arcade games was Pac-Man?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I kind of brought it up, because I remember going to a Pizza Hut with my parents, and it was so cool because this Pizza Hut had an arcade Pac-Man there. So, like, you could play Pac-Man while you're waiting for your food, which was awesome for me as a kid. And then when Nintendo came out, I was really stoked because they actually got a Mario Brothers, like, arcade game there. And I think it was even different from what Nintendo released for the console, because there were certain, like, subtle changes. I mean, going back now, I don't know. I'd be curious to see if it was more like what was in Japan as opposed to America. I don't know, but like the tunnels were a little different. Like there's different kind of warps, you know, that you could go into. I just thought it was really cool and interesting. It's just slightly different. I just remember it being different.
You know, you brought up Atari and then you just ignore Atari.
Well, Pac-Man. Okay. My mind goes all over the place.
When was Pac-Man on Atari?
Yes, it was. At least I remember it being on Atari.
You know what game was great on Atari? Plain and simple, Adventure.
Adventure, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and getting back to the skill sets of playing these games, first of all, Atari was like impossible. It was Atari to me. All those games were about score. You had to get a high score.
That was the whole point.
That was the whole point. It was not how. I mean, levels maybe. You know, I got to this level, but it was mostly about, you know, I'm getting this high score.
Oh, it was only so you could put your three initials at the top and go,
yeah,
ASS. Yes. You know, I made it. Right. But it's funny you mention difficulty and getting the score, because kids these days, oh my God,
well, that's
kids these days.
Yeah, they don't know
they
how
don't
good
know
they have
the
it.
Struggle.
Right.
They can just go, oh, let me just save this real quick and I'll come back. No, F you.
Right.
Not like that. I used to leave the TV on.
Yes.
Paused, because my mom would be like, we're going on errands, you got to come. And I'd be like, shit.
Yeah.
I never understood what saving was. Like, you learned a little bit
from,
like,
role-playing games. You didn't have that. And your system didn't burn out or something.
If you're playing Battletoads or Mega Man or some shit like that,
oh my gosh.
You pause that game.
Mega Man.
And you turn the TV off and you get pissed off if someone hits that.
Oh. Well, at least Mega Man, they gave you cheat codes. And they also gave
you... I remember writing those down.
And they also gave you passcodes. So, like, if you got to a certain level. But I got to tell you, you had to have that pen and paper ready to go, because that code popped up there. You need to write it down wicked quick. Yep. And that's what... it's another good kind of point about video games back then too. We're kind of moving into Nintendo a little bit here, because there's so many systems that came out. We only have 20 minutes, but when that game, the Nintendo came out, friends would come together. Like, I remember having sleepovers and playing different games, and we would talk to each other at the lunch tables and say, hey, look, how did you beat this? Or Nintendo Power started coming out. It was not easy, but we would... We didn't have Google. That's right. You had to figure it out on your own. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, we figured it out in groups. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was playing games, usually it'd be like three or four of us, and we'd take turns playing. Or brothers. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're brothers or friends or... but. That's kind of how it used to be. We'd all huddle around the console and play. And I don't nowadays with the internet, everyone's just hiding in their own space, in their own home, you know, playing everybody.
Yeah, it pisses me off on the new Halo, man. No co-op on one system.
No co-op on one system.
Yes, so you can't split screen. No more split screen.
Oh, that's...
which is annoying.
That's unfortunate. At least the Call of Duty still do that. Very unfortunate,
because I feel like Halo's for our generation, and we grew up with that.
Right.
And then they take it away from us for the new generation. No, because the new generation doesn't want to go outside. They're all introverts, and they all stay inside their house.
Well, which is something I want to get to towards the end, for sure.
But it's cool that you bring up Nintendo, because I feel like Nintendo brought the home system, the home entertainment system, is what they called it.
The premier home system.
And no matter what, like throughout all the generations of, we've had Sega, you know, Master System, we had Genesis, we had Saturn, CD. We had Sega CD, we had Nintendo, Dreamcast. Super Nintendo, Dreamcast, we ended up getting 64. PlayStation, and all these, any kind of system, mention
Game Gear.
Any system, you know, right?
Like
no matter what you were playing, your mom would come in there and go, turn that Nintendo off.
Yeah.
That's all they knew.
Right. Well, I would actually shut the TV off and leave Nintendo running. And that was the worst when they came in and we hit that button, shut it off, especially if you had made it really far. Unreal. Like, so angry. You know, like, the whole reason why they're mad at you is because you've been sitting there for hours, but what they just did was cancel out everything you just did.
It's crazy. I used to yell at my mom because she'd be like, we're going somewhere, I'd be playing Final Fantasy, one of them, Super Nintendo.
Right.
And she'd yell at me, like, I gotta find a save point. And it turned out, like, when she was, like, talking to him on the phone, like, I gotta wait for my son. He's waiting for a save point. And, like, it's just, like, such a nerdy thing to do. And this is where the big nerd fluctuation came from.
Sure.
A huge amount of nerds. And it was not cool to be nerdy.
You spent a lot of time and effort getting to certain points, though. You needed to save. It was imperative to save. And if you didn't have those passcodes or cheat codes, you were up crap creek. You know, it's just unreal. But absolutely. Sega Genesis was one of the first systems I bought with my own money. You know, I was so proud of it at the time. And that was a 32 bit graphics.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog. Big, big open door for
Sega was the competition to Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it really was Mario and Sonic.
Yep.
Head to head.
And Sega came out with the Genesis before Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo was in the works, but it wasn't out. Sega Genesis
beat it. With the 16 bits.
Yeah.
But people don't know that Sega also came out before that, right after Nintendo, was the Sega Master System.
Right.
8-bit. And every time I mentioned to people I had a Sega, oh, you had a Genesis?
No.
No, I had the Master System.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't know what that was.
Yeah. It's cool, which brings me to the point of, like, you were saying competition. It's interesting, too, because nowadays, for me, I flip-flop between systems. I'm a conservative shopper when it comes to video game systems, and... I actually have procrastinated. Like, I waited 3 years before I bought the Xbox 360, for example.
I refused to buy the 360.
Yeah, I waited a long time. But I finally did get it. But before that, it was like the PlayStation 2. So it's interesting. I jumped from, you know, Sony to Xbox and Nintendo. You know, there was a GameCube, you know, like all these systems. Dreamcast. The Dreamcast could have been successful.
The Dreamcast was ahead of its time. It's... processing power to do arcade games was better than the PlayStation 2 and was better than the 360. But it came out too early.
Yeah.
And people, of course, brushed it off because the new big hitters were becoming Sony and Nintendo.
Right.
And me being a Nintendo fanboy, chose Nintendo over Sony because they had... I think Nintendo had made the problem with Sony in the first place. Mm. But I still appreciated Nintendo more. I think Sony was just making their system to get back at Nintendo. Sure. And then it turned into what it did.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, you may need to talk a little bit more about it, because I don't know if everybody knows that whole button heads thing.
Yeah, so I guess what happened when after Super Nintendo came out, or was it? Yeah, Super Nintendo. Nintendo started working with Sony to create a new system, like a CD-ROM drive system.
Yes.
That would get away from cartridges.
Right.
And then somehow the deal went south. I can't remember the full details of it. But I think it was Nintendo who screwed over Sony, and Sony got pissed. Nintendo went over to Philip, And that's where you get the Philips CDI. That's actually Nintendo and Sony. I mean, well, Nintendo and Philips were developing that after, as soon as Nintendo, I think, screwed over Sony. Uh-huh. I think that's how it went down. And if it's not, please let us know in the comments.
Right. But carry on.
Two fans.
I'm interested.
And then Sony, out of spite of Nintendo, despite finished development of it and finished making PlayStation. Well, Nintendo decided they didn't like the CD idea at all anymore and pulled from Philips as well, but at that time, and released the 64. And that's where the N64 came from. And then the Philips CDI came out. But since Nintendo still has some rights to Nintendo stuff, that's where you get the Philips CDI Legend of Zelda games and things like that, which are worth a lot of money, actually.
Sure.
I think there's three of them.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a few because they sell the license to use the characters. So they did because it's going to sell their system.
So PlayStation 1.
But it didn't do too well.
PlayStation 1 came out around the same time or after 64? I don't remember.
Just before 64.
Just before 64.
I believe so. And I think it just turned 18 or something now, and it can now legally have sex.
That's funny. So I remember when the 64 came out, and I thought it was like mind blowing. Of course, you play it
the
now.
The bee's knees, yeah.
You play it now, I get nauseous. I'm like, how the hell did we make heads or tails of anything on this? Like, it's playing GoldenEye.
It was Legend
Bond.
Of Zelda and Bond. Legend of Zelda. The greatest Bond. Games. Mario Kart.
And Star Fox.
Star Fox. Do a barrel roll.
Yeah. But although I still enjoy that Star Fox very much.
They're still fun games. Yeah. They really are.
Mario Kart was obviously amped up.
But Nintendo knew there was time not to do cartridges, and they still did it. I think someone pulled. And obviously you see the GameCube came out. And for some reason Nintendo always wanted this, you know, they wanted to...
Cartridge mentality?
No, they wanted to be, you know, inventions. Not inventions.
Oh, leading the way kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, kind of innovators.
Innovators.
Yeah.
And so they came out with GameCube and the smaller disc and everything when Sony was already saying, oh, you can play DVDs on the PlayStation 2. And then Xbox enters the field, you know. And then
that's right. Yep.
Microsoft decides, like, we're going to launch a system. And everyone's like, Microsoft, whatever.
Yeah.
So Nintendo was still kind of behind the times and they kind of dropped the ball there. But when they made the Wii, that changed everything.
It did.
The Wii was the most popular system that year. It was so hard to get it. I remember that.
I do remember it being very difficult to get. And the idea and the concept of it was pretty cool. But to me, it never really worked. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be more than what it was. I remember buying an Indiana Jones game just for fun and just to, you know, whip that controller around as a Indies whip. It never read the way I wanted it to read. And so we move on to maybe like Xbox and the Kinect. It was a better reading system, but it still was laggy in
for
my
sure.
opinion. And frustrating.
And it's great that Nintendo released it and it changed the gaming. And then again, they kind of dropped the ball because then the Xbox One came out. And this is more recent. I guess we'd sped through a lot of time.
Well,
we'll go back.
We'll go back. We'll definitely go back because I want to bring up some other
issues.
Yeah,
me too. Of course I do too. But we passed on to, you know, Nintendo dropping the ball again and getting close to bankruptcy and doing stuff like that because Sony and Microsoft are the ones battling now because, well, let's face it, Halo made Xbox into what it was.
Absolutely.
And
it still
I
is.
Still won't buy Sony systems. Actually, I bought one Sony system. That's it. I wouldn't buy another one just because
I was a fanboy. I was dangerously close to buying a PlayStation over the Xbox One, and the only reason why I didn't was I already committed to the year gold membership. A lot of the friends and family were still on
it.
But I feel like we're getting way off subject, I guess, in the sense of what you were just talking about. But with Xbox One, for example, and their menu system, they're constantly changing it. It's constantly updating. There's constant
Did they
problems.
Update it recently?
They did.
Okay. Is it better?
No.
I heard it was better.
Well, it could be. I don't know. But it irritates me because I was still trying to figure out the old one.
The old one sucked. The 360 was so much better.
Well, getting back to all of this, I wanted to bring up, and I apologize, but I wanted to bring this up. Video games, back when it was Nintendo and Super Nintendo, and even 64, PlayStation, PlayStation 2, they were all handheld devices before the Wii U, before the Kinect.
What do you mean they were handheld devices?
Like, meaning like you could just literally grab your controller and play it. Whereas this health movements
there's no
kicked
more.
In.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there was this weird health movement that kicked in. And to me, I thought it was kind of a bogus PR campaign. We're like, oh, get healthier. Like, no, because I was annoyed because I was thinking about people that had, like, problems, you know, physical conditions, where they can't get up and move. And this might be the closest thing that they have to playing.
Never thought about that.
You know what I mean? To being able to move. And I thought that was kind of crappy. You know, like, this is the only way you can play these games now is get up out of your wheelchair. Like, that's kind of douchey. You know, how does that work?
I don't know.
So I thought, plus, if you're just lazy and you work all day, why the hell would you come home and jump around your living room for another 10 hours?
It's true. I haven't turned on Mario Galaxy in a while because I really, like, you have to move a little bit to play the game. You really do. And I remember playing even Legend of Zelda, the Sky Awakening, or no, Sky Sword.
There's
Sky
so many. Sword.
Shit, I'm a huge Link fan too. This is bad. This is really bad. So anyway, so I'm playing that game, and you have to pretend you're playing with yourself to swing the sword. I'm not joking. I'd be leaning against the couch,
right?
To give everyone an image, I would be leaning against the couch, laying there. I have my
left hand. I am giving an image with right now.
That's what I'm trying to paint an image here.
Well, okay.
On my left hand, I'm holding the joystick, you know, because it's a nunchuck, whatever. Uh-huh,
right.
And I'm holding the slender piece in my other hand, and I'm waving it back and forth, all right. Up and down, to make the sword swing back and forth.
Okay,
have to do that.
I can't even take it
seriously. There was actually some points where we had to shake both. Uh-huh. I've actually collided my hands together.
You never want to collide it. Yeah.
No. Yeah. And it was just ridiculous. Fun fact, after the Wii came out, they started giving out free wrist straps because people were throwing the remotes through the TVs.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
It's fucking ridiculous. I believe that.
Well, that's why they come with the wrist straps now and all those extra warnings and whatnot. I will say,
and
though,
the condoms.
With the moving on of the internet phase of gaming, you are allowed to access more things like downloadable content, which in the past never before, even though now it's more of a scam.
And that all started
before it used to, I mean, I guess when download content came out originally, it was a perk. It was like, hey, this is really kind of cool.
It was on PC though, and EverQuest and things like that. EverQuest Online were things were starting, like Phantasy Star Online were like one of some of the first few games I remember playing online, or Half-Life.
Right.
Were all online things, and you can buy things on there.
Well, now it's a gimmick now. Now it feels like
it is a
you
gimmick.
Spend like, you know, $60, $80 on this game, but then you end up spending probably $300 by the time you're done.
Well, yeah.
Which is almost the price of the systems
that
themselves.
That comes to no point. My friend actually was in a programming class, and he actually did a report. And he wanted to do a report in front of me first to let me know how, you know,
sure,
try it out. And he was telling me, like, you know, in the future, we're going to be, instead of paying money, you know, for real estate in the real world, we're going to be paying money for real estate in 3D worlds and digital worlds. And I'm like, no, you won't. Why would you do that? Who would pay money for digital shit?
Yes.
He got the last laugh because it is true.
Everybody does it now. Yeah.
I get free digital downloads when I pre-order like Halo and I sell it on eBay because I don't need it.
Right.
And
people pay for the skins,
like,
for their
50,
guns.
40 bucks.
Everything. Absolutely. I know.
Why?
It's as soon as the game's outdated. It's a digital market.
The game's outdated. You move on to the next game. You don't have that money anymore.
Well, I think as older consumers, I think we recognize that. And especially, for example, backwards compatibility. We didn't talk much about that. So that's a perfect example. Like, a lot of the games that you buy, if they're not backwards compatible, guess what? You're rebuying. Xbox is a perfect example.
Well, Nintendo totally freaking tried to market on that because every PlayStation system was backwards compatible. Nintendo was not.
Right.
And then they came out with the Wii, and they even came out with the slogan, like, we're going to define backwards compatibility, and this is where it all came from.
Right.
And they fucking said their whole library, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, 64, GameCube, most of it, what they can license, what was theirs.
What they could license,
was on the Wii.
That's true.
So, and it was like, honestly, you have to rebuy all your old games again.
You know what, though? I agree with you. I did buy, but you know what? That worked for me because
I still have my Nintendo.
I bought the Wii because of that reason, actually, because I was able to go back and buy some of my favorite cartridge games. Because let's face it, cartridge games don't work all the time.
No, and they should be able to, if you can prove you own that cartridge game, get that free download.
Yes, for sure. And I agree with
you
that.
You own it.
Well, when you pay for the rights for something, yes, you should always. That's why the big gimmick. That's why Xbox is terrible, in my opinion, in that sense, because of they're refusing to let you get the Halo. I mean, it's backwards compatible, so you can play the old ones now. Thank God.
No, you can't.
The old ones.
Xbox One is compatible for a lot of Xbox games. They keep updating, except for all the Halos.
Oh, there you go.
Because they made the Master Chief Collection.
Of course,
and that you can buy. Yes.
And how many times did you buy all the Halos, all the map packs, all the DLCs, and like,
I refused to buy all that shit.
Well,
because
after a while they would
give them free because they would get annoyed at matchmaking, so they'd make them free after like 6 or 4 months.
But
4 or 5 months.
It probably longer because I remember. Okay. But you are right. They did release some of them. But getting back to the backwards compatibility for other systems like the Wii, I appreciate it because I didn't have a Dreamcast. I'm not a Dreamcast, excuse me, a GameCube. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was cool to be able to go back and buy some GameCube games that I never had and play those as
well. And now Xbox does
that. And play Nintendo Mario Brothers originals and all the other favorites. And ironically, I was a fan of the Star Wars games, and those were one of the few that were actually.
Why is that ironically your Star Wars?
I thought it was ironic that because there was very. I would look at that menu and try to find games that I liked, and there weren't as many as you'd think. I mean, compared to the massive amount they released, but Star Wars happened to be
interesting.
I just thought it was kind of funny. But one thing I wanted to ask you too, which I find, maybe it's showing my old age, but the idea of gaming to me was to escape life, and no offense to anybody who is one, an asshole. I work all day. Our business is, most people's, is with customer service and bringing a product to people and doing the best quality service you can give. And you know when that kind of service exists, sometimes you don't get that same respect from the customer. You know, sometimes the customer is upset or angry. So when you come home, the idea of putting on Super Mario Brothers and just bashing some mushrooms was fun. Nowadays, especially with, again, I bought it, and it's buyer's remorse / what are you going to do is what it boils down to. This is how the world is. With the Xbox One.
You have buyer's remorse for Xbox One?
I have buyer's remorse for any game systems these days. Okay. Because
they change so much.
Where I'm coming to this point, they force you to be involved in these other communities. They force you to start playing more and more with other individuals. Like, for example, Titanfall, you have to play with strangers. I mean, yes, you could. If you have 6 or 10 other people that you're friends with, and somehow you all have a job that works the same exact hours, and you have the same exact days off, then shit, yeah, it's great that you guys can all get together at the end of the night and play. But realistically speaking, there's no way in hell I could find 10 of my friends, have the same exact time off, let alone without babies crying or wives yelling at you, where you want to be able to, or moms crying in the basement. Yeah, I don't know.
We're at that age. You know what
I mean?
Age,
but yeah. I'm just saying, like, there's no way in hell I'm going to find 10. So that means I'm going to have to play with a whiny little 7-year-old on a mouthpiece.
Who tells you that, little bitch.
I'm going to have to, yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to play with some badass thug, you know what I mean, that's in college and he should be doing his homework, but instead he's just like spanking off and
well, with our hours, you should be able to play around 4 or 5 in the morning, which usually hits up the Australian people.
Right.
It's freaking awesome. Also, you're like, wait, why are the voices changing?
But I personally hate that. I want to play with my friends. And that's it. I mean, yes, I can go out into the world and I can play with other assholes, but I spent the whole day with the world of the assholes. The last thing I want to do is be forced to play a game with these people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So I don't know how your opinion is on
it. I bought Halo 5.
Yeah.
I played through the whole game.
Yeah.
A lot of people buy the game through the playthrough and then they play matchmaking. I have yet to play matchmaking.
Yeah.
I've had it for 2-3 weeks now and I don't have the urge to play matchmaking. I beat the game. I'm now waiting to play with you.
That's a great point, too.
That's what I'm waiting
to play
with.
Some of the games don't have campaigns anymore. They're straight-up multiplayer. It's like not even an option.
Well, because that's what it sells. Halo was one of the biggest. When it first came out, Halo was one of the biggest multiplayer games because you would link up systems. And then Halo 2 came out, first time online. It broke the internet for a while. I remember playing until a lot of times, looking at my friends going, shit, the sun's up again. But this is back when we were in high school.
Well, when the 360, what got me to buy the 360 was Halo 3. And it was because you could have co-op campaigns. You could have multiplayer.
Yeah, the first time co-op campaign.
Yeah, and multiplayer options, you know. And the reason why I bought it was variety. The game had, in a sense, had multiple games. Because you could do a variety of options, which kept it fresh, kept it new, kept it exciting.
Correct.
Now it feels like they're just pushing you in one direction. Like you have to just just play with a bunch of people in a big map. And you get to, and don't forget to buy a bunch of downloadable content.
It seems like the push these days. It does.
Which is unfortunate. It's pushing me away from video games, which is terrible. That's why, you know what's funny? One other thing, because we're running out of time.
We are running a lot of time, and there's so much more I wanted to talk about.
I'm sorry, I talked a lot.
No,
but
you're good.
There's retro consoles being made where they support all of the old cartridges. So, like, for example, there's a game console that can support a Sega Genesis game, a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen those.
You know what?
Those are all...
I think people in our generation, and even, like, some young-age retro people are, like, going to
hipsters.
Those. Hipsters. Yeah, because you can go back and buy all used games and you can play them just like they were meant to be. And I think gaming consoles and people that make games today forget that sometimes people just want to fucking break and just play something.
Well, that's what's cool about too. If you go look at indie games on Xbox, on the Xbox Live,
yeah,
you can go download indie games from people who actually make games that are from our generation.
That's true.
And they just try to make simple games. Like the one of them, I watched a documentary on the Meat Boy. Uh-huh. It was literally just like a side scroller, like Mega Man or Mario Brothers. It was a little more detailed because of the graphics, but really, it was just a side scroller.
That's cool.
Puzzles. I mean, it was just back to the basics, and that's what they even said they want to get back to the basics.
Absolutely.
And, you know, make it impossible Xbox for you to finish levels without saving.
At least Xbox allows that opportunity for people that want to make games. Well, we're pretty much out of time. We ran over a little bit.
Let's end this. I want to talk more about Sega and Nintendo, but I guess we can talk about another day.
Yeah.
And this is more of a just everything video game basis. But my last question, my final thought to you would be, are you more of a Nintendo fan or a Sega fan?
You know what's interesting? That's a great question. If you're talking about like Sega Genesis versus like Nintendo or Super Nintendo, which one?
Let's go old school. Nintendo. Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. Okay. Because that's what really Super started Nintendo the battle right Genesis. There.
Well, I am slightly partial to the Sega Genesis only because, like I said, it was the very first system I bought with my own money.
That's fair.
I was totally stoked about Sonic the Hedgehog, and there was a Spider-Man game I liked. The graphics were different. They were a little more intense. The stories were different. They were, even though like there was two Turtle games that came out, their stories were slightly different and fun. So I'll lean towards the Sega Genesis. I mean, but to me, the real question is the characters. I mean, because there was very unique characters that came with different console types, Sega, Nintendo. So, you know, they're lovable characters. And in that sense, I love them all. I can't say I love Mario more than Sonic the Hedgehog. They're just different, but they're both equally iconic in my mind.
They're great characters.
Sure.
I'm a Nintendo.
There you go. You did say that numerous times. I did. All right. Well, we almost ran over on this one.
So. Yeah. We will have to come back. Sorry if we jumped around a bit. It's just a lot of things that got us excited.
Yeah. This is a good subject.
We will have to come back to this and visit one, I guess, we should stick with a generation or a decade at a time next time because this was...
Turn it down. That's way more than we thought we would
do. Yeah, for sure. And we were almost going over right now. So
We are over.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed the episode.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
I'm done.